Welcome to Loading the Bar with physical training experts Parker McBride and Matt Wasko. Our Fit Lifestyle podcast covers the science of nutrition and fitness, together with the challenges we all face to be disciplined. We'll guide you through the minefields of fads and gimmicks and all manner of BS that tempt us in today's fitness world. Ready to begin? Then let's start loading the bar.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Loading the Bar podcast. Parker McBride here, joined as always by my co-host Matt Wasko. And we are back with you guys after a couple weeks off of podcasting. We had some things going on, and now we are back with episode 31.
Yeah, so, you know, we had some technical difficulty 1 week, and then I went on vacation, and but now we're back. And so missed you guys. I'm always like, you know, communicating and sharing in fitness ideas and educating and myself and learning from others. So I like to keep this going, and so I'm excited to be back.
Yeah, and we got some pent-up excitement about this episode from being off a couple weeks.
Yeah, right? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, let's record it two or three times. Yeah.
All right, guys. So we're going to go ahead and just dive right in here like we do every week with our Fit Focus. We've got a really good study, an article talking about a study this week. The headline is HIIT Workouts Best for Boosting Brain Health in Older Adults, Study Finds. And HIIT, that would be H-I-I-T, as in High Intensity Interval Training. And so basically what this study did here, it was from the University of Queensland, and they examined 194 adults age 65 to 85 with no signs of cognitive decline. And these participants essentially did a 30-minute HIIT workout three times a week for 6 months. That was the test that they were given. And then there was another group, obviously, that was a control group that did not do the HIIT exercises. And it really, they put in here that most of the HIIT exercises were to do with treadmill, like running really intense for, say, 30 seconds, and then walking or doing something at a rest for 30 seconds, and then doing that interval over and over for 30 minutes.
Yes.
And they mentioned that high-intensity workouts, as we know, can be any number of exercises.
Oh, yeah. Almost endless.
Yeah. But the importance that they found was the results. It didn't really matter what specific exercises you were doing as long as you were doing HIIT, as long as you were doing high-intensity training.
Yes.
But what they found is that those individuals that did the HIIT workout made fewer errors compared to those in the low intensity and moderate intensity groups. And not only did they make fewer errors in cognitive tests, but they regave the test again 5 years later.
Oh.
So they did this 6 month regimen. Mm-hmm. They gave the tests, and the people doing the HIIT program, the high intensity program, performed better than those that did low intensity or no training. But then 5 years after the fact, they still performed better. So they did the test again, and 5 years later, and the HIIT exercisers still did better than other groups whose score remained the same and did not show any
improvement. So we're talking 10 years into this study.
Well, 5 years.
Oh, okay. So they tested at the right after. When was the two times they tested?
Well, so they did a program for 6 months.
Right.
Then they tested them.
Okay.
Then 5 years after that, they tested them again.
Okay.
And, you know, we talk all the time about the benefits of exercise outside of just the physical.
Yes.
And this is just further proof right there. As you age, we talk about the importance of lifting weights to preserve muscle mass, mm-hmm. and, you know, resistance training to preserve muscle mass as you get older. But in this case, we see the benefit cognitively of physical exercise as you get older as well. So this little paragraph is very interesting to me. It says, what was especially exciting was that MRI scans showed the HIIT group also had less age-related brain volume shrinkage. as the right hippocampus involved in memory was preserved to a greater extent. So think about that. It's almost like we think about resistance training and how that builds muscle. What this study, the results suggest, is that the HIIT training actually builds your brain.
Well, the brain is kind of like another muscle in a way. When you use it, you're forcing, blood through it. And so it's like any organ. If you don't use it, it's going to wither away, right? So it just makes logical sense. When you use your brain, it's going to stay more functional and more healthy.
Yeah, absolutely. And they said here that they tried different intervals of different lengths and different frequencies, and they kind of got the same results. So they said it doesn't really matter. It's not like there's a magic exercise to do. There's not a magic formula. It's just do HIIT training. Push your body very hard, short periods of time, on intervals with some sort of exercise, some sort of modality, and that's the key.
Well, it's this kind of, maybe it's coincidental because we found this study. And as you know, we're recording every weekend at Anytime Fitness and Lee Summit, and we're recording here right now. And we just launched a program, a HIIT circuit program for our members, which is a free Saturday morning HIIT circuit at 8:45 a.m. And so we're starting to get some participation, and people are loving it.
Yeah, and we're having people of all ages and sizes and everything.
Oh, yeah.
That are there as well, but some older people as well.
Yeah.
That would fit in this age group of 60 to 85.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, obviously it's beneficial for everybody, but we see the benefits here for the older populations, and, it's extremely important.
Yeah, and everyone, it's always the same. When they get done, they feel so good that they did it. And, we ask them, and, they're having a great time during it, even though they're working their tails off.
Yeah. So, I'm not at all surprised by the results of this study. It was actually very interesting when I found it, and I said, I think I know what it's going to say.
Right.
And it said exactly what I expected, and that is that it's going to help the cognitive ability and the brain function of older adults. And that's what we found. Now, later in the article, it has a section where it says, why is HIIT beneficial for brain health? And this is kind of what I want to dive into and unpack a little bit and get your take on, Matt, why they think it's beneficial. So what they say here is research shows that regular HIIT workouts improve cardio fitness, which in turn lowers blood pressure and force on the arteries by making it easier for your heart to pump blood around your body. Healthy blood pressure is important for maintaining brain function, as higher readings are linked to worse functioning of smaller blood vessels in the brain. So, essentially what they are suggesting is HIIT training lowers your blood pressure, and lowering your blood pressure improves the blood vessel function in your brain.
Right. Right.
I mean, I'm no doctor. Once you get to that point, that's not something that I have an understanding of, but it makes sense that would be correct.
Well, I mean, we do have, I would call, a level of education in health and how the human body works. We have to know something about how the human body works, or we won't be successful at our jobs, right?
100%.
We understand how blood flow works. We understand the importance of the roles that fats and carbs and protein all play in the body. We understand the role of different supplements, which are endless. We understand many of those things. So, the brain's not going to be much different in its importance and how it needs nutrition and to be worked to be more healthy and more functional.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. And they also go on to suggest another potential reason, and they say it's due to the increased level of BDNF, that's brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which stimulates growth and repair of neurons or nerve cells, the fundamental units of the brain and nervous system. So it's kind of like the building blocks of the nervous system, and this HIIT exercise actually stimulates those growth and repair
right
of those in the brain.
Yeah.
It's interesting because we don't really think about it that way.
No, we don't.
That you would exercise to stimulate your brain doesn't really, we think, well, if we exercise our brain, we need to like do some math problems or some Sudoku or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, but, I mean, it's interesting because a lot of times people are doing exercise because they want to look better, feel better, you know, want to push a certain amount of weight, you know, whatever it might be. But one of the things many people don't realize, and even this is even for the youth, right? Exercise, resistance training, HIIT training, it improves our cognitive abilities. It improves our happiness. It mitigates depression. It's the number of factors, I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. The number of benefits that come with exercise are too numerous to cover. And we're just covering just a little slice here, right? And when you are exercising, one of the top things is better blood flow, right? The body becomes more efficient in delivering blood and oxygen. And that's definitely true during, as far as oxygen, during HIIT circuits. So when you're pushing blood and oxygen around, which your oxygen travels through your blood, that's a win-win for the body. So you're just feeding your body, you know, the ability to function even better. And you're delivering all kinds of nutrients, you know, throughout the body when you eat wise. So that's what I'm saying is, like, we're not even scratching the surface here. This is, the exercise is so important for the body that, and a lot of people understand that, but it has almost equal, if not more, benefit for the brain.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's all tied together.
Yes.
And that's kind of the point that I want to get at here. I mean, we can talk about the specifics of HIIT training on brain cognitive function, but the overarching theme here is, like you said, exercise is extremely important for so many different things.
Yeah.
And we just can't overlook that. Brain health is tied to physical health, is tied to spiritual health, is tied to nutrition. It's just, you just keep going down the line. It's all interconnected. One bad health decision that you make is going to affect everything else.
Right.
You know,
right.
Whether it's your mental state too, you know, whether you're feeling content, feeling happy, all these things are interconnected. And when you can make a small decision like exercising or HIIT training, you know, I don't think we've actually talked about HIIT training a whole lot on this podcast so far.
I was thinking about that when we were talking about this, and I'm like, have we really gone into this? You know, now it's something we both have a history in, you know, at our previous location of where we worked. That was a big part of it. And then, you know, now we're at Anytime Fitness, and this is something we wanted to introduce and bring it to our members because it has so many benefits.
Well, and I would say I've always preferred resistance training. But HIIT training is also very important for being a well-rounded, like, athletically.
Yes.
I wanted to be in good cardiovascular shape as well as be very strong.
Exactly.
I wasn't thinking about the benefits when I'm 60 of what this HIIT training is going to do for me, right? But it's just extra motivation.
Yeah.
So as a young person, you know, I have so many reasons to be motivated to continue to exercise, be a well-rounded athlete, keep my health as long as I can, knowing that, I mean, these people, they only went out to 5 years, obviously. I'm sure they would have tried to do studies 10, 15, 20 years out, but they going out 5 years found that just a six-month HIIT program can benefit you 5 years down the line. I'd love to see what, you know, a lifetime of doing this, how it would benefit you 50 years down the line.
Well, if you think about it, 5 years out of your life is a significant amount of time, you know. And so if you're in your later years and you wanted at least to have better cognitive ability for another 5 years, would you put in 6 months? Absolutely.
Yeah. And then that makes you wonder, what if you just never stopped and you just continued to do HIIT training? Instead of just a six-month program, you just did it for that whole 5 years.
Absolutely.
I would love to see what the difference in that would be, because I would say they would have performed way better than the people that did it for 6 months and then stopped.
That's you know, you see stories out there of people in their 70s, 80s, 90s doing. I just was the other day. I saw a story about it. He was 91, and he ran a, I think it was a 26-second 200.
Whoa.
Yeah, like 26, 27, 200. Like smoke. And this guy looked amazing for 91. You know, now he smoked everybody else. But it was, I'm almost positive. I know it was, he was very old, let's put it that way. And very impressive. So it's kind of one of those things, like, you know, you can stay in shape for a very long time. You just have to stay active.
Yeah. And I think to put that in perspective, for those of you that, that maybe don't aren't familiar with like track and field and sprinting, there are very few everyday people that can run a 26-second 200.
Oh yeah,
like to do it at 91.
I don't know if I could right now.
No, I don't. I don't think I could run 26.
Yeah.
And so that's extremely impressive to do it at 91.
Yeah.
But when I think about that, right, you think about this individual. I don't know who they are, but they're 91 years old, and they're at peak athletic performance, performing better than a lot of 20-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
But then you also have people who are, you know, 60 years old, and, you know, they can barely get around.
Right.
They couldn't even, you know, touch their toes or get up off the floor or things like that. And it's shocking to me the difference that that is, because the 91 years old, 30 years past 60, but there are 60 year olds who are already at that point. And it shows just the massive difference of the results you could end up with based on how you treat your body throughout your life.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, one, I, and I've seen the dichotomy, right? So when you have been sitting most of your life and you sit at a desk and you don't exercise, and let's say you do that from the time you're in your 30s, you know, a lot of people say semi-active until they're 30, start having kids and stuff like that. And then they sit dormant until their 60s, right? The amount of deconditioned state that happens is enormous, right? And, you know, you can reverse it, but it's a massive mountain to climb. And, you know, you almost need that personal trainer to be the one to take them on and get them back to a more conditioned state. And, you know, I have clients that, you know, never worked out until they came to me. And, you know, I have, you know, 2-3 years with these clients, and now they are far more stable, stronger, range of motion. So, but they still have a hill to climb. And when you keep that time, you go forward, and you try to stay in shape between your 20s and your 60s. I mean, you go into your 60s and 70s and 80s, you're going to be, and you continue to stay athletic. You can, as far as getting in the gym, being committed, you know, making sure you're working out. We have a guy here at Anytime Fitness named George, and the guy's been working out his entire life. And when they went to, he had to have a shoulder replacement. I think he's early 80s, like 83, I think, 81, 83, somewhere in there. And he had a shoulder surgery recently where he had to have it replaced. And they went in and said, man, the doctor said there was a lot of muscle they had to move around to get to my shoulder, you know, and that's fantastic, right?
That's something you don't expect to hear.
No,
in 83.
No. Yeah. So, but he's been working out a very long time, you know, decades and decades. And I wish he would have come to me when it's, you know, I was around when he's in his 50s. I found a personal trainer, so he went and injured his shoulder. That's the reason it got replaced. He got injured and never had it looked at. But regardless of the point, you can maintain, you know, a healthy body well into your 80s.
Yeah. And I think to kind of add a little bit to what you were saying there, you're talking about the mountain that you have to climb if you find yourself in that deconditioned state.
Right.
It's a tough mountain to climb, but it's worth climbing.
Yes.
And if you find yourself in that boat, all hope is not lost. You absolutely can work back and drastically improve your health. honestly, almost no matter what state you're in. Like, if you're still above ground and you're still kicking, you're still living, you can improve your health.
You can. You can. My mom was a prime example. She, you know, up to the point that she ended up getting cancer, before that, her doctors were very concerned about her bone density. So we ended up working on, you know, resistance training, increase that bone density, and it increased her strength and her bone density. So that's an improvement. Now, she was in her 80s at that point, never worked out a day in her life, but the doctor said, you got to do something. So it can, you at any point, you can reverse it.
I will also say, though, if you are a younger person that is in good shape, use that as motivation to stay in good shape.
Absolutely.
Don't give yourself that mountain to climb.
Yes.
Whenever you're 60 years old. Because, you know, like you said, it catches up with you. You have kids, you get busy and stuff, and you don't do it. Every year you get older, the harder it's going to get.
Yes.
And that's motivation to take time out of your day. I know it's a busy day. Everyone's busy. Everyone's got the same 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Make it a priority.
Exactly.
Make it, you know, important. You've got your... You know, you got your faith, you got your family, you know, you got your job, but it should be right up there. You know?
Well, I tell people, look at it as a duty, right? It's a duty to yourself. You know, same as your car needs an oil change, that's a duty to get done or the car is going to break down, right? Your body needs to be tuned constantly. So make sure when you get in the gym, this is not an option. It's a duty to yourself. And so, because people need to change their mindset. It seems to be sometimes when things get tough or, you know, money gets tight, they eliminate the wrong things. And what they need to do is actually eliminate something else, eliminate some entertainment channels, but make fitness one of the top things you do, because it'll make you more alive in your life, to your family, to your kids, to your friends. You know, the better in shape you are, the better you are to be around as a person.
100%. So let's say that, Matt, that there are those people out there who want to, they either are working out, they want to get into working out, and what are the things they need to look out for? What are the common mistakes
that
they may make?
Yes.
That we can help them overcome?
Well, there's several problems, right? Let's cover one. A lot of people, the first thing they're like, I want to get in shape, but I don't have a plan, right? Everything's foreign to them. Now, me as a personal trainer, and I've been on both sides, trained myself and trained other people, right? One of the things I've come to understand, being alive as long as I have, is the human condition. How we tend to, I mean, when I'm working out with you, I tend to perform just a little bit better than I work out on my own. That's just the way it is, right? Because there's an accountability factor, right? I have to perform. And that's the human condition, right? We tend to perform better when we have a coach. So I'm always going to advise people, for a multitude of reasons, to hire a personal trainer. Because In a personal trainer, you get endless education. I mean, and I'm talking about a good personal trainer, endless education on nutrition, and as far as, you know, how they should be eating to feed their workouts. You get form, which is paramount to actually grow the body. And most importantly, they help you from getting injured. And so That's the problem. Is a lot of people don't understand that everything you do outside the gym affects what you do inside the gym. And so if you don't have the mindset, you don't even know how to plan for it, because you can't plan for what you don't know or don't understand, the best place to usually start is a personal trainer.
Yeah, one of the things I hear the most when new clients, new prospects, you know, come in the gym, they want to talk about their goals. It's always, oh, I'm trying to lose 30 pounds. I'm trying to bench 225. I'm trying to, you know, whatever it may be. There's always a reason.
Right.
And the thing that you need, so you have a goal. that you want to hit. You have the ambition and you want to start, right? How do you bridge that gap? I'm here. I'm ready to go. I know where I want to get to, but I don't know how to get there.
Yeah.
And that's a thing that, you know, a personal trainer can absolutely help you with. Say, hey, here's the path you need to take to achieve that goal. And let me walk with you through it every step of the way, you know, showing you what to do every day in and out of the gym,
right,
to make sure that you reach that goal.
Well, I think when I guess for the people out there that are listening that maybe they don't have access to a personal trainer, which would be hard to believe, but maybe they can't afford a personal trainer. You know, it'd almost be like, let's go through the process of what a personal trainer is going to do with you, you know. And the first thing is, you know, what are your goals? You know, do you have any ailments or any injuries or anything that you need to account for? You know, limited range of motion, any of that, something you're dealing with in your practical life that you deal with on a daily basis and how you work around that. And then what's your current nutrition and your sleep, right? So these are things that we all talk about. You know, the most important thing when anyone starts working out is like, what are you eating right now? Okay. Because if you're eating garbage or eating fast food all the time, we're going to lose. Ain't gonna matter how good my plan is or your plan is, that if you're doing this on your own, if you're eating garbage, you're going to lose. And you're not going to get the results you want.
And unless your goal is to get fat.
Yeah. You know, so that's going to be the first thing is, you know, these are three things or several things actually that we will go through is determining, you know, or cleaning up your diet, you know, and then your goals. And then once we know your goals, your diet, and most people, I would say, are, you know, well, I'd say at least 60-70% of the people that I train, they just want to feel better, look better, lose some weight.
And that's a goal too.
Yeah.
And that's why I need, you know, I want you guys to understand, like, you do want to have specific goals that you can sort of hit as like stepping stones along the way, but your goal could just be health.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my goal.
Yeah.
I just want to be really healthy for a really long time.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to lift a certain amount of weight or lose a certain amount of weight or anything.
Right.
But a lot of people do have those, mm-hmm. and those are okay too.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, and we talked about this in a previous podcast. You kind of have to look at your personality. You know, can I keep going just to be in shape? I might not work out as hard. That's my personality.
True. And that's why I said, you know, I think it's important to have like little stepping stones along the way, because those kind of keep you honest for a greater goal.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, from experience, and this goes for everything in life, not just working out, but the really, really big goals that you set that you think are going to be so satisfying when you hit them end up not being that satisfying.
Right.
Oh man, I really want to lose all this weight, 100 pounds, mm-hmm. you know, if you're like really overweight, or, you know, you want to get super strong, you want to bench 400 pounds, you know, you hit it and it doesn't, it's like such a big buildup to work towards that goal. And then you hit it and you're like, oh, okay. it's not that fulfilling.
Right.
And so it's the journey.
Yes.
Like you say all the time.
Right.
It's the journey that's fulfilling. So then you think, man, like I hit that. Well, now I need to have something else.
Yeah.
So that I can keep that journey going, keep that drive going.
Right.
So, you know, you don't necessarily, the good thing about a goal of just being as healthy as possible is you're never going to hit it. So the journey goes on forever.
Right.
You're never going to be perfect.
Right.
Perfect health. You know?
Right.
So your journey goes on forever.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, for me, it's, you know, I shoot for, everything I do is towards a certain goal of, competition and weight, and you know, that gives everything I do it's very tailored towards that, right? And then I find comfort in consistency and driving towards something. And when I hit it, you know, and I've hit my goals multiple times, It's it was just a goal that I hit, you know, and then I just changed my goal and refocus and go forward again.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was the first problem, was not having a plan. What's the second problem that you see, Matt?
Well, you're not progressing. Okay. So there could be a few things, you know, it could be your sleep, it could be your eating, it could be you're not challenging yourself. You know, it could be your form. I'm going to say, with my experience, and you can tell me if your experience is similar, the two biggest problems I see with people not reaching their goals is, I should say there's three actually. So, but one of the biggest is food. They don't eat right. Right. The second is form. And then the third is they're just not doing the exercises that's going to grow them, right? They think they're going to get stronger, or they don't understand progressive overload or those type of things. So, they don't have a real plan, a totality of plan, which goes back to our first point. But then if you don't have a plan, then this is where you're not progressing, right? And then you get bored and you're like, this isn't working and I'm done. So you get frustrated and discouraged. So I think that's the biggest thing, is that you have to understand how important eating is. So take, for example, you can eat 1,800 calories a day of processed foods and get fat, okay? Or you can eat 2,500 to 3,000 calories of clean food a day and have trouble gaining weight.
Yeah.
Right? So that's what you have to understand is that how you need to have some education on what's important to eat.
Well, I'm actually going to take it kind of a step back.
Okay.
Because you said, what was the problems you said was like food and form.
Food, form, you know.
So then yeah. I'm gonna kind of rephrase those. I'm going to say my two biggest is discipline,
yeah.
which manifests itself often in food.
Right.
But discipline, because sometimes it's food. They're eating the wrong foods. They won't eat the right foods they should be eating. Sometimes it's that they're not showing up, right?
Right.
They're not getting their exercise in. They're not disciplined enough to commit to it every day. They're kind of, this week they did pretty good. They came two or three times. They worked out two or three times. And the next week they missed, you know. But I see discipline as a really big one. The second one is knowledge. And that's where the form issues come in. They don't have the knowledge.
Right.
And they just don't know.
Right.
You know, or you said not doing the right exercises for their goals. Same
right.
thing. They just don't know. They're here every day. They're wanting to do the right things, but they don't know what they're supposed to be doing.
Exactly.
So discipline and knowledge would be my two, and I think it would go along really well with what you said.
Yeah. I think we talk about the three pillars a lot. We both believe in it, and that's mindset, nutrition, and exercise, right? And mindset is the discipline. Right. It is what is the beginning of everything.
And knowledge to an extent is
yes.
also in mindset.
Yes.
The mindset to know what you don't know and figure it out.
Right. So, you know, your mindset's up here, and there's an umbrella of terms or things that follow under mindset. There's an umbrella of things that follow under nutrition and in the same as resistance. So, you know, these are all components that are very important to being able to, you know, let's go back to it, discipline, which means that you are eating healthy, but what about form? You can't be disciplined on form if you don't know form.
Yeah, and that's why I said, like, the knowledge kind of comes first.
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't get me wrong, you can have sloppy form even if you know what you're doing. Sometimes my form gets a little sloppy, you know. I'm not as disciplined as I should be. Maybe I have the knowledge, but I didn't have the discipline to keep the form as tight as it should be. But if you don't have the knowledge, that will absolutely hold you back.
Oh yeah.
But the discipline, anybody can have discipline.
Yes.
I mean, I'm sure it takes time to kind of train yourself into having discipline, but it's kind of like effort. Everyone can give 100% effort. Everyone can be disciplined. Not everyone has the knowledge.
Right, right.
And that's where, you know, when it comes to progressing, the first thing I would ask myself if I wasn't progressing and I was hitting a wall, I would say, am I being as disciplined as I should be? Am I eating the right things? am I coming in and working out? Am I doing my plan exactly as it's written?
Yes.
If any of those answers are no, then I'm going to fix that first.
Yes.
And then if I fix that and it's not working, I'm going to look for potential knowledge gaps. Things that maybe I'm doing this wrong, right? I'm working out this way, but maybe I should be doing it differently. How many days? How long should my workouts be? What's my cardio to resistance training mix? You know, all those things. And that's when it helps to consult a professional, consult a personal trainer, or, you know, do your research.
Yeah, I'm running into, I've actually picked up a few clients that have run into a brick wall doing it on their own, right? And sure enough, when you sit down and start talking to them, you find where that brick wall is. You find it.
It's easy for a professional to see.
Yeah.
We've seen so many people. It's like, oh, that's it.
Yeah.
When they can't see it.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess one of the things that, you know, is a frustration for us is a lot of times they get into the point where they're trying to do their exercises online, right? They get them those online workouts. And I know you've had some frustrations with those online workouts because, you know, they're kind of like, in some ways they are and they aren't kind of the one size fits all. And so why don't you give me a little bit of your input on why you're not a super big fan of those?
Well, what typically takes place, I mean, an online workout is, well, here, there's kind of two areas. The first area is it's always going to be better to have somebody there in person coaching you real time, seeing the form real time, being able to fix it as it happens, being
right.
able to give you an extra push, force you to do, you know, the things that maybe you don't want to do, push yourself harder. Like, that's one element, and that's very important. The second element is there are a lot of trainers out there who they don't have the best interest of the client in mind
mm-hmm.
whenever they sell online programs. Because if I'm going to sell somebody an in-person training, I have to show up. I have to, you know, set their workout up. I have to be very involved in that time.
Right.
Put forth a lot of effort and a lot of my headspace towards that. But an online trainer, what a lot of them, what I find a lot of them do is, you know, they'll throw together a workout program and they'll sell it, and it might be the same one for everybody, and it's just basic and kind of cookie cutter, and then you're kind of on your own. So you're buying a workout program, but what are you really getting out of that compared to what you'd be getting with in person?
Yes.
And it always falls short. Now, if you are somebody who you really want a trainer and that trainer can't be there with you during the workout and they are like customizing a program for you based on your goals and only your goals, then that's different. But if you're just buying a program that thousands of other people have bought, I mean, it doesn't really, it's cheaper, but it doesn't really have a value. It's not really going to help you.
Right. I think my biggest contention with online training programs is, you know, that even if they have a diagram or a picture of what form is, it's hard to do a form that you can't see yourself doing.
Mm.
Right. You know, it's hard to engage the muscles and understand which muscles you're supposed to engage to have good form for an online program.
Well, to me, form is all about feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why when I'm coaching people, I always talk about, where are you feeling it? Does it feel like this? How does it feel? Because that's what's important. But on online, it's not that way. It's, oh, look at this, do it this way. Well, like I said, that's hard to replicate. You can't see yourself doing it. Even if you can see yourself doing it, how do you know, am I doing it? You know, am I doing it right? But that's why when I'm in person with somebody, it's like, move this, here, do this. Okay, now do the exercise. Okay, now how does it feel? It feels like this. Okay, now I know we need to adjust this. You can't get that online.
Right.
And you're going to progress so much quicker if you have that coaching and you have that ability to, like when I'm working out myself, I know how it should feel. So if it feels wrong, I know what to fix.
Right.
But I mean, how many people have we come across who have been working out on their own or maybe working out with an online trainer or something, and for years and years they've been doing the wrong form.
Yes.
And we give one little correction and they're all of a sudden like, wow, that makes a huge difference. I've never done that before, never felt it like that before. Yeah. And it's like, if you just had this one little correction years ago, think about how much further progressed that you would be.
Well, you know, you get, I see a lot of the 20 and 30-year-olds, they're in here, they have not great form, and they're not going to get injured because they're young. And they'll get some growth in them. It's spread across all the muscle. Never, if they're not isolating, though, they're never going to get as big as they want to get. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing people have to realize is that you can get some decent size with shitty form. Excuse my language. But, you know, there's nothing like isolation. You know, I mean, you isolate, that muscle is going to really get strong.
Well, and it's way healthier for your joints.
Oh, yeah.
And it's way, like you said, less likely to get injured. It's just there's so many reasons to
do that. Yeah.
And bigger bang for your buck. It takes less working the muscle if you're isolating it, mm-hmm. less time and less reps working the muscle in order to get the same result.
Exactly. So all this that we're talking about, guys, is all things that you'd want to consider when you're starting out working out.
Or even if you've been working out for a while.
Yes.
You know, like we just talked about, people who have been making an error for a very long period of time that they don't even realize is holding them back.
Well, and something else to talk about is how to grow the muscle, and we're talking about isolation. One thing, when I know I've given someone who's worked really hard, like they busted their butt during their session with me, I ask them, now what are you going to go home and do? Eat protein. Yes. Don't take advantage of what you just went through. Eat it and get, and I usually say, if this for good practice, try to get it within the hour. You know, don't waste this opportunity because you busted your butt. You know, you really worked hard. And so I always take the opportunity because it's a great opportunity for growth, is that you need to have a calorie surplus to get through these workouts, right? You know, to have enough energy. Now, there's a balance there as far as, you know, having the calories to get through the workout because you're going to burn through them, but yet end up, if you're trying to lose weight, with a calorie deficit, if you're trying to lose weight after the workout. So that's setting your calories just right, and everyone's probably a little bit different and they need slight adjustments, you know, but, you know, let's say your BMR is, you know, 1800 and we set the workout for, you know, let's say 2100. You do a workout, burn, you know, 400 calories. Now you're at a calorie deficit, or maybe you're 200 calories under your BMR. And you continually do that, and then you slowly lose that weight.
Explain to our listeners what a BMR is.
Basic metabolic rate. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's basically the amount of calories it takes for your organs to function, right? Your brain, your heart, your lungs, your digestive system, to function, they all take calories.
Like if you were just like sitting around all day,
this is
sleeping, this is how much.
This is how many calories it takes to stay alive. So, that's not an exact science. They have kind of a calculator of weight, age.
Yeah, you can like Google a calculator and it'll ask you some questions and you can get pretty close.
Yeah, you can get pretty close. I mean, to actually know what that actually is would probably take a lot of expensive testing. But it's close enough, you know. And in my experience, when I've gone through the trouble of figuring someone's BMR and then figuring their, you know, macro breakdown off of that, and based off of their goals, we've had good success with that.
Yeah, absolutely. So basically what Matt was talking about there is if you have your BMR, obviously you want to at least get that many calories in.
Yes.
If you're if you're not trying to lose a significant amount of weight, but your body's going to burn that no matter what. You need to get that amount of calories in. If you're trying to build, you need to be on top of that. So you've got your BMR, right? You're burning that every day no matter what. Then you have your exercise. You get up, you walk around, you exercise, you lift things here and there, your digestive system is working. All those things add to the BMR.
Right.
And you get up to another total, and then that's kind of your total expenditure for the day. If you're trying to build, you have to be beyond that, mm-hmm. in order to build.
Mm-hmm.
Because a calorie is a unit of energy. When you eat, how much energy does that does that food provide you? That's the calories.
Right.
And so if you're eating 3,000 calories a day and it's quality good food and you're burning 3,000 calories a day, then your food's going in, it's getting turned into energy, and it's all getting used. It's
exactly.
kind of like filling up your gas tank and then driving the whole distance until the gas tank's empty.
Exactly.
You don't have any gas left.
Right.
So you got to have a little gas left in the tank for your body to be able to build with. Because excess calories your body will take, and it will use those to build on the body. Now, sometimes, especially depending on what you eat, sometimes that's muscle mass, sometimes that's fat. That goes to replacing tissues as well. The body can use that extra energy for all different types of things. But if it doesn't have the extra energy, it can't use it.
And what's the biggest problem when you don't eat? Where is the body going to pull its energy from?
The muscle mass.
Muscle mass.
Most of the time.
Right.
If you have the fat mass, a lot of times it'll pull from the fat mass.
Sure.
But you're right. If the same way as your body can't grow in a surplus, it will shrink in a deficit. And that's why a calorie deficit's so important for losing weight. I mean, that is step number one.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying that every person that's in a calorie deficit is just going to get super thin, because there are so many other factors at play when it comes to diet, eating quality ingredients, exercise, and things. But if you're finding that you, between your BMR and your exercise, that you're at 2,500 calories a day, you probably need to go in a deficit, you do need to go in a deficit if you want to start losing weight. So if you find yourself on the end where you want to cut down, you want to lose a little bit of body fat, lose a little bit of weight, your body's going to have to be negative energy, a net negative.
Right.
And so maybe you're only eating 2,200 calories, but then you're burning 2,500.
Right.
Well, now that 300 calories that your body's using is going to pull it from somewhere. And if you have the body fat on yourself, it's going to pull from the body fat in a small amount like that.
I'll give you a little example. I had someone come into the office maybe 3 or 4 days ago, and very lean but muscular, right? Weighed 195 pounds. And his question to me was, I'm having trouble adding mass. I'm having trouble getting stronger. I said, well, so I went through his diet and went through his macro breakdown. He was eating 240 grams of protein a day, so plenty. And he was eating about 2,800 calories, clean calories, okay? And but he was at, like, I think he was at maybe 11, 12% body fat. So he looks good. I said, well, you're going to have to increase your calorie intake to add mass, which means you're going to actually add some fat too. Oh, I don't want to do that. And I'm like, yeah, I'm fried. You're young enough that if you keep going, you're probably going to get stronger, but it's going to be very, very slow, you know? But if you really want to get strong, because he wants to be stronger, I said, you're going to have to eat more calories. You know, it's just not going to happen without that. And he was like, okay, well, I'm happy at 195 then.
Yeah, I mean, it's a give and take. Every thing comes with a little catch.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's important to understand that whenever you think about your goals.
Well, our next one is you're struggling to be consistent.
That makes sense. And that kind of ties back to discipline like we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. But I guess even if you know what you're doing and you lack consistency, that's going to obviously be a massive problem.
Yes. Yeah. And that's one of the things we're kind of going back to earlier in the podcast, where we were talking about, you got to view it as a duty, you know, and it's important that you view this as a duty, and that you understand how important it is for your health is to come in and put in that time and be an escape from what's going on in outside world.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see. Problem number 4, the scale won't budge. That's an interesting one.
Mm-hmm. Scale watching. Mm. Yeah, I tell people stop watching the scale. especially in the first 8 weeks. If they've been working out a while, we could look at it a little bit differently. But we do get a lot of people that come in and they haven't been working out. And the first thing is, I don't want you looking at the scale. We're going to look at it now, and then we're going to look at it in 8 weeks. I said, and your probably difference in the first 8 weeks is most of the time you're not going to see the results you're wanting because you just, your muscles are going to go, you know, going to go like the first 8 weeks. And what you need to think about is how your clothes are fitting. And a lot of times they'll start noticing a difference in their clothes before they notice anything else. And a lot of times the trainers notice it first. You'll see it in their face.
So I would say in this case, the problem isn't actually that the scale won't budge. It's that they're watching the scale.
Exactly.
Right. Because there's a difference between, like, if they genuinely need to lose weight and they're not losing it, that's a different problem than the scale isn't budging, but it's because they're adding muscle mass and losing body fat mm-hmm. like they should be.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have somebody who's very overweight, yes, they should be losing weight.
Yeah. Yeah. But a lot of times it's not, like, I have one client that has a good amount to lose, but she's never been in a gym before. So the first 3 or 4 weeks, just one, locking down the form that we not, you know, we're doing maybe a little higher rep, and very lightweight, make sure to get that form locked in. And sometimes that could take, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, get that locked in. Well, so, and they're super sore after that. So then you might be 5 or 6 weeks in before they're actually starting to move something, you know. And this isn't true for everybody. Sometimes people are there inside 2 or 3 weeks. So, you know, that's what I say. It's about expectations, right? It's like, and if you're doing this on your own, you also have to set realistic expectations. And sometimes that's hard to know. You don't know what you don't know. That's why a personal trainer is always good to have at hand, because they know how to set your expectations. And at the very least, what you could do is, if you have unrealistic expectations, is go and talk to someone at the gym who has experience. They can help you set those expectations.
Absolutely. Now, I just want to throw in here, obviously these problems as we go along are getting less, I guess, frequent, you would say. They're less common problems mm-hmm. as we go along. They're getting a little more specific. So overarching big problems at the beginning that we see with lots of people, less common as we go down, but still very important.
Right.
Number 5 you have on here, you don't have enough energy for a workout. I want to hear your take on that one. That's very interesting.
Well, there's a lot of reasons why you might not have enough energy. A lot. So it also depends on, you know, if you're in your 20s, you don't have enough energy. That might be different than if you've been in your 50s or 60s and don't have enough energy, right? For males, you can have a testosterone issue that I would suggest you at first try and solve naturally. And there's ways of doing that. I've done it. We have friends that have done it. And that's just being seen very, very active every day. Helps keep your testosterone up. So that, you know, now that's not going to be as much of a problem for, you know, when you're 20s and your 30s. So then you have another issue. Could it be sleep? Could it be that you don't eat enough carbs or fats? You know, or I have another client who literally eats like 500 calories a day. And I hadn't seen her in like, she's in a transition from one gym to this gym. And when I saw her, I was visibly, whoa, something's happened. Like a wafer thin skin. Like she might have been like 10% body fat. And on a girl, that's a lot.
Yeah, that's lean.
That's scary.
Crazy lean.
It's a crazy lean. And I talked to her. I was like, well, let's go on what you're eating, you know. And she goes, after talking to her, it was like maybe 500 calories. 500 calories. And I'm just like, that's, you know, you just cannot get anywhere eating that. You're losing your muscle mass.
Well, no wonder you have no energy because your body's going into conservation mode at that point.
Yeah.
It's like, I got nothing to work with. We got to start shutting down our organ systems and stuff in order to keep our body alive.
It was affecting her mentally.
Yeah.
You know, you can't have the cognitive function you're supposed to have. Your organs are starving, you know, so you're causing it's just a ripple effect of problems, right? And, you know, so when it comes to, you know, not having enough energy, you know, now we have a different way of, you know, a lot of people do pre-workout. I used to do pre-workout, and I wanted to try something more natural. So now I put, you know, a clean salt in my water before I go work out. And I'm awake.
It's electrolytes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
and it's a little bit, it's obviously way more natural and better for you than caffeine.
Yeah.
And pre-workouts. Not just caffeine, but specifically pre-workouts are usually filled with a ton of junk.
Yeah. A lot of them are. Yeah. And so, and I have to be honest, when I was doing pre-workouts a few years ago, I got used to it. I was just like, I didn't feel it.
Yeah.
You know, but when I drink, you know, hydrated water, I'm just like, it wakes me up every time.
Yeah.
It's not like my body's adjusting to it like a pre-workout, right? Your body can adjust to the caffeine you're taking and it needs more,
mm-hmm.
right? That's not the case with, you know, you putting either electrolytes or, you know, do your own and put some, you know, kosher salt, it's some type of really clean salt without the metals
and
sea salt into your water.
Mm-hmm. So last one you have on the list here, and this one is maybe the touchiest one.
Yeah.
You say you're feeling self-conscious at the gym.
Yes. Yeah.
That I know is a very common problem.
Very common.
But, and it gets in the way of a ton of people getting results and getting progress. How can they overcome that if they find themselves in that situation?
You know, I think the quickest way is to actually talk to someone at the gym. And I mean by someone who works at the gym. You know, and I can't speak to every gym is like this, but you need a staff that is conscious and recognizes those attributes. I can usually tell when someone's feeling very uncomfortable, right? We both have been around long enough is that we can read people, and when they're uncomfortable, it's obvious. And being aware of that and being able to come to where they're at and understand, like, listen, all of us started somewhere, okay? And, you know, it's kind of like, you know how Christ celebrates the one lamb that was lost? And how that big celebration, or the prodigal son, he, you know, slaughtered the calf for his son, and the other son was upset. And it says, you have to understand, it's like, if someone is very deconditioned when they come in, when they have success, we celebrate even more.
Yeah.
You know?
Not judgmental.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
I mean, I don't want to, like, go Planet Fitness on everybody, because I don't like Planet Fitness
no,
at all. But,
right.
But, I mean, truly judgment-free zone. I mean, that is how all gyms should be.
Yeah.
Right? I'm almost more excited when I see somebody walk in the door that really needs to be here as opposed to somebody who's already in good shape.
I would say, just to sidetrack here, Planet Fitness is judgmental to people like me.
That's true. They are. They say judgment-free zone, but
it's not.
They're probably more judgmental than almost every other gym.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I think it was Eddie Hall and Brian Shaw, who went into a Planet Fitness and started working out, and they had to come talk to him. And it's like, that gym is not made for folk like that. And
no.
So, I mean, if you truly want a judge-free zone, you know, come down to Anytime Fitness in Lee's Summit. You know, we have the really strong guys here, and we have people that are, you know, deconditioned. And everyone's embraced. It's a community. It's what it is. It's a community.
Yeah, and that community is very important. I would say going to the gym with a friend can be very
absolutely
helpful in that case. You know, if you are a little bit self-conscious about going to the gym, you know, the last thing we want is for that to be the reason why you don't go. You know, if you look back, if somebody comes in, I've had some clients before that come in to the gym. They finally build up the courage and make the decision to come in the gym, and they tell me they were so self-conscious for so long. They spent years wanting to come in the gym,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't because right. of that self-conscious. And there's a, I'm obviously very excited for the fact that they made the decision now, and here we go. We're getting started. We're on our journey. But in the back of my mind, I think to myself, man, if we had those years back that they didn't come in,
right,
and they didn't make that decision, where could they be?
Yeah.
And I really don't want anyone to end up in that situation, whether they lost years or they lost precious time to improve their health and get in better condition, all because they were self-conscious.
Yeah, and I don't want, and at the same time, of those that are listening, I don't want them to be discouraged to think, well, my time's past then. You know,
because, of course not.
Yeah, because it's never too late. You know, I mean, my mom, like I said, in her 80s, started working out for the first time and had benefit. So, you know, it doesn't matter your deconditioned state. You know, even if you're in a wheelchair, we can find things for you to do, right? You know, get yourself in the gym. And, you know, I'm not going to pretend like every gym is embracing every, you know, we're a human race, so you do run across people that can be very damaging to the psyche. But for the most part, you know, one of the things I know, me and both of you, both of us, I should say, were looking for a gym that was like this one, that everyone, no matter their decondition, we all embrace them because we're all on a journey.
Well, and I'm going to tie that back a little bit to our episode from, I guess it was two episodes ago when we had Jeff on the podcast, mm-hmm. the owner of Anytime Fitness here.
Right.
And one of the things you talked about was how the personality of the owner kind of bleeds down to the staff, bleeds down to the members.
Right.
And that's one of the things I've noticed here. I mean, Jeff is one of the least judgmental guys when it comes to
absolutely
people in the gym. And that has trickled down to the rest of the gym here. And there is absolutely no judgment.
No, absolutely no judgment. And, you know, it doesn't matter what shape you think you're in or how embarrassed you are. You know, Jeff and this staff will all embrace you, you know, because we know that you want something that is attainable. And the staff here will help you acquire it because everyone deserves it.
Yep, absolutely. Well, those were just a few of mm-hmm. the most common problems yep. that, you know, could be holding you back, could be the reasons why you're not getting where you want to go. Hopefully, some of the knowledge that we dropped today helps you guys overcome some of those problems.
So, right.
Matt, you got anything else you want to add on that before we go?
I you know, what I guess this, you know, we've already mentioned it once, and then those that are, we have a lot of members here at Anytime Fitness that, you know, listen to this podcast, you know, so, you know, we're going to be doing that HIIT circuit here at Anytime at 8:45 a.m. every week. And so I want people to know that. And we got a lot of big plans in the next year that we're going to be partnering. The Loading the Bar podcast is going to partner with Anytime Fitness. So we'll be announcing those as we go forward.
Yep, absolutely. Exciting stuff. Well, guys, this was episode number 31. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we will be back next Saturday. No more Saturdays off for us, so we'll be back next week with another show for you guys.
Sounds good. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Hey, look at you. You've completed another milestone by finishing this episode of Loading the Bar. Your future self thanks you profusely. Loading the Bar is podcasted from Lee Summit, Missouri. Email us at cpt.kansascity@gmail.com. Forge ahead and share your progress. And we'll see you back here for another episode of Loading the Bar.